Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the publicans and the sinners as we pick up in Luke chapter 15, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
You should add zest and flavor because of your walk with Jesus Christ. Salt has another capacity of making people thirsty, and you should be creating a thirst in people. Then drew near to him all of the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and he eats with them." Notice the four groups that had gathered divided into two categories. First of all, the publicans and sinners. Publicans were the tax collectors, the outcast of that society, one of the most hated persons in the community. They were considered by the Jews to be traitors and quislings. And they were always classified with sinners. And so the publicans and the sinners had gathered to hear Jesus. It's amazing that many of the publicans were attracted to Jesus. Matthew was a publican called to be a disciple. He left his receipt of customs and he followed Jesus. Zacchaeus was a publican. And after his encounter with Jesus, he said, "Behold, I'll take half of my goods." They were always wealthy people. "I'll take half of my goods and give it to the poor. And if I have taken fraudulently from any man, I'll restore to him twofold." Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, obviously. The publicans were attracted to Jesus, as were the sinners, because he had a message of hope for them. They gathered to hear. But the others, the Pharisees and the scribes, they gathered to find fault. They were looking for things by which they might accuse Jesus, waiting for a slip-up, waiting for some mistake so that they could pounce upon it and accuse him. And so they began to say, murmuring, "He receives sinners and eats with them." They thought that they were saying something horrible in condemning him, but in reality, they were proclaiming a glorious gospel. Jesus receives sinners, and you can become one with him. John wrote and said, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you might have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." He receives sinners and he eats with them. He becomes one with them. He dips in the same sop with them. He eats the same bread with them. He's identifying with them. Yes, he does. Thank God he does. And because he does, there's hope for every one of us. And so there were those that were hearing him, desiring to hear him, and there were those who were seeking to find fault with him, looking for something to condemn. Now, what should have been, if they were truly righteous men, the Pharisees and the scribes, if they were truly righteous men, what should be their attitude when sinners were responding to the gospel? What should be the reaction if we see sinners saved? I oftentimes hear people criticize Billy Graham and his campaigns. And you see hundreds of people flowing forward to accept Jesus Christ. And they say, yes, but a lot of them don't stick. You know, and it's sour apples. Rather than saying, oh, bless God, you know, look at that. Praise the Lord, you know, and rejoicing that all these people are accepting the Lord. There's just, you know, they're looking for something to find fault. Oh, you know, he preaches a cheap gospel or something. And when the hippies were coming to Jesus by the hundreds, as I was going across the country, I'd have pastors come up to me and say, I saw pictures of your baptism at Corona Del Mar, but when are they going to cut their hair? You know, rather than saying, I saw the pictures and my 1,000 young people being baptized, how glorious, oh, bless God, that's glorious, that's thrilling. You know, they've got to pick on something and can't really rejoice that the Lord receives sinners. But there's sour apples over it. Jealous or whatever. And so Jesus spoke this parable unto them. Unto who? Unto the Pharisees, the scribes, because of their sour apple remark. And he said, what man of you, if you have 100 sheep and you lose one of them, will you not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until you find it? And when you have found it, you lay it upon your shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, and he says unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. So when you find the lost sheep, there is the rejoicing. There's the rejoicing in the neighborhood. Rejoice, I've found the lost sheep. And then Jesus said unto you, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than 99 just persons who don't need to repent. So while the guys down here are saying, when they're going to cut their hair, the angels are up having a whoopee time, rejoicing that the lost has been found. Joy in heaven. And either what woman who has 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that was lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Again, the natural response to finding that which is lost is rejoicing. And the Lord said, there's joy in heaven over just one sinner who repents. And then he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And so he divided unto him his living. Now under the law, when there were 2 sons, the older son received 2/3 of the inheritance and the younger son received 1/3 of the inheritance. That was just the law. And many times if a father wanted to retire, he would divide the inheritance to the sons before his death. It would automatically belong to the son after the death of the father. But this boy had the audacity to come to his dad and say, Dad, I'd like my inheritance now. And so the father divided the inheritance. And not many days after the younger son had gathered everything together, he took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent everything, There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine, which was, of course, a job that was forbidden to the Jews. Cursed is the man that feeds the swine. And he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man would give to him. And so when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have enough bread that they can spare? And yet I'm dying with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called your son, but make me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on him, family signet ring, and put shoes on his feet.'" Shoes on the feet were significant because the slaves were never given shoes. Only the family members, only the son. But slaves were never given shoes by their masters. That's why in that old Negro spiritual that came out of the slave days, "You got a shoes, I got a shoes, all God's children got shoes. When we get to heaven, gonna put on our shoes. Not gonna be a slave anymore. I'm a son, I'm a child of God." And that hymn looked forward to that day when they would have shoes. They would be acclaimed the sons of God in that heavenly kingdom. Because that was just one thing about slavery. You never gave your slave a pair of shoes. So the son said, "Hey, I'm not worthy to be, you know, called your son, just a servant." The dad didn't even let him finish his speech. He said, "Put the shoes on him. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and let's be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music. He saw the dancing. And he called one of the servants and he said, "What's going on?" And he said to him, "Your brother's come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound." And he was angry and would not go in. And therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have served thee, and I didn't transgress at any time your commandment. And yet you never gave me a kid that I might have a party with my friends. But as soon as this your son was come, who has devoured your living with prostitutes, you've killed for him the fatted calf." Now, here is really the real point of the parable. Though it may teach many things, the parable was intended against the Pharisees. All three were, actually, but he's building up. In the parables, in each of them, there is something lost that was found. And the result of finding that which was lost was rejoicing, happiness. Jesus receives sinners. That shouldn't be said in a derogatory sense. That should be said in a rejoicing sense. Jesus receives sinners. There's hope, friend. Rejoice. Jesus receives sinners. And yet they were not saying it with that inflection, but they were saying it in a derogatory sense. He receives sinners and eats with them. And so were the natural reaction to finding something that is lost should be rejoicing. The Pharisees are angry. They're condemning. They're sitting back and judging. And so the story was given, and in the third story, Jesus adds the older brother and his attitude towards the rejoicing because the Father receives sinners. And here he is out there, sulking, angry, upset. I'm not going to join in. You've never done anything like this for me. And his sulking attitude because the Father received the sinner. He went out and spent everything he had on prostitutes. He's a sinner. Yet you have a big party because he comes home. The same attitude that the Pharisees were expressing. To me, it is interesting that the Father said, "Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours." You see, the younger son had taken his inheritance. So everything that was left belonged to the older son. "All that I have is yours." And it was necessary that we should have this party and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, because the Lord receives sinners and eats with them. The lost is found. Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." And so we so often hear marvelous sermons preached from the parable of the prodigal son. But rarely do we ever hear a message that really gives the true meaning of the parable or the real reason for the parable. The reason wasn't just to show the father receiving with joy a son that was lost, but the parable was used to show the Pharisees how wrong was their condemnation of him when they said he receives sinners and eats with them. They should have been rejoicing over it rather than griping over it. May God help us that we will not have a pharisaical attitude towards the work of God in receiving sinners, because maybe he is receiving them at some other church in the county rather than here. It doesn't matter where he receives them. Let's rejoice he is receiving them. Let's pray that God will send a great spiritual awakening throughout the county in every church. Let's not be so short-sighted or narrow-minded that we're only praying for God's blessing upon Calvary Chapel, because God knows we can't house them all. But let us begin to really pray that God will revive his church throughout this entire county, and that sinners will be brought to Christ, that the Lord might receive sinners anywhere, everywhere, that there will be revival in the Baptist church, in the Methodist church, in the Lutheran churches, in the Presbyterian churches. Oh, let's just pray that God might be able to receive sinners in all of these churches, that there will be a real move of God's Spirit throughout the whole area. And if we hear of revival somewhere, let's not go and try and find the faults that may exist in their doctrines or their doctrinal positions. "Well, they, Lord, didn't follow us, and so we told them not to do it." And Jesus said, "You shouldn't have done that. You know, if they're out there doing it in my name, they can't very well be against us. Don't stop them." God deliver us from narrow sectarianism. from an attitude of the Pharisee to the same heart of Jesus and rejoice that the Lord receives sinners and eats with them.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 15 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Father, we thank you that you have received us. We've had that glorious joy of eating with you, sitting down, Lord, and partaking of thee, the bread of life. And Lord, we pray that today our hearts will be united with yours. Our visions will be united with yours. And that we, Lord, might come to that place of rejoicing in thy work, wherever it is being done, and by whomever it is being done. Lord, keep us from that narrowness that would seek to restrict your work only in our midst, that would seek to restrict your blessings only to our fellowship. And Lord, may we seek and pray for your blessings upon all who call upon your name in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord be with you now and bless you with his blessings and with his love. May he keep his hand upon you and may he guide you in each of the decisions that you'll have to make, that you might be led of the Lord in all things. May the good hand of our Lord be upon you. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Gather the kids together because The Word for Today would like to present a kids' book by Pastor Chuck called The Story of the Resurrection of Jesus. Each book contains an audio CD of Pastor Chuck reading this story, featuring the voice talents of Skip Heitzig.
But I will come back again on the third day.
Greg Laurie.
It's Jesus!
Hi, Peter.
Raul Reese.
See, it's really Jesus.
Yes.
Cheryl Broderson.
The stone was rolled away. The tomb is empty.
And so many more. It's never too early to start reading to your children timeless biblical stories taught by Pastor Chuck. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. Or to see a sneak preview, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org, where you can order this book in print or as a digital download. Again, the number to call is 800-272-9673.